We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Red Sox Winter Weekend continues from a packed house at Foxwoods Resort and Casino. And I'm Ken Laird. Rob Bradford is alongside. Rob, we got a terrific start to the program. I'm sure you're to credit for this. Not just Rick Porcello, Steve Pierce as well.
I take no credit for this at all. I take no credit. I'll take credit it being an awesome start to the show, but that's all the credit I'll take. These guys came on their own volition, and we appreciate it.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming by. General, the question is, what's the offseason been like? How's the celebration?
That's really the first question you're
gonna
have.
That's the easy one.
No, come on.
Yeah, we haven't been asked that yet.
These guys,
it's a warm up.
You have to understand. You have to understand. These guys have been doing like 15 million interviews, including Steve was very nice. He did the podcast with me just about an hour ago.
Oh, God bless you.
Rick, he bailed on the podcast this year. I don't know why, because we're all getting ready for the Twin Peaks
I never
podcast.
Got the invite. My last podcast, the ratings went down, so then they just cut
you know, on you know as well as I do. There's one.
I get it. It's a business. It's
the highest rated podcast in the history of podcasts. It's the Twin Peaks podcast down in spring training. We'll get to that in a minute. But these guys have been asked this. We have to strive for better, Ken.
Go for it.
We have to strive for better.
The floor is yours, Rob. Go ahead.
All right, Rick, who is the best podcast interviewer that you've ever had?
Done so many.
All right. So seriously, we were talking.
The Bradfo Show is by far my favorite podcast. Rob Bradford is the best podcast interviewer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That's. Can we save that? Renee. All right. But in all seriousness, you guys, we've gone through this. Steve, this is the first time you've gone through this winter weekend. Rick, you've gone through it before. So I guess I ask you, Rick, is this different? Is this different this year, this whole scene? It's sold out every year, right?
Yeah, it's sold out every year. I think at first glance you wouldn't notice anything different except the vibe and the energy of, you know, I think all the fans that have been Red Sox fans for so long and their appreciation for the season that we had and just the overall excitement of what a great year, you know, and coming off of that.
That's a terrible question. I'm gonna strike that one. But I will say this, because Steve, we just talked about this on the podcast, and you can answer this as well, because I said the moment that I remember, I always hold up as this is what it feels like to win a championship was actually I was talking about Mitch Moreland. That it was Steve Young holding up the championship trophy. Remember that? You guys know that image of Steve Young, 49ers, coming out of his skin. Right. He's so happy. Rick, you were number two. When I saw you on the field, that was, oh my goodness. If you want to understand what it's like to win a championship, look at Rick Porcello on the field. Steve was getting his truck. He was being ushered around. But you know what I'm talking about? It was a feeling that for both of you guys that you probably have couldn't anticipate or expect. Yes?
Well, sure, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what we went our whole life for. And, you know, to be able to celebrate with everybody is what it's all about. I mean, we go through a lot during the year. And, we went through, we made a heck of a playoff run. And we got a chance to, hold the trophy at the very end of the year. And that's what it's all
about.
Did
it feel
right
different holding up the trophy than you thought it would? And I don't know.
It was a surreal moment.
Well, you were getting a truck. Yeah. You were getting all kinds of gifts. But you were like, oh, I mean, the emotion that you showed, Rick, was something. It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I obviously didn't know what it was going to feel like. And when we did finally win, it was just a rush of everything that you put into it. You know, the ups and downs that you go through, the hard work that you go through, you know. Being away from your family, I mean, probably the most special moment for me, you know, and I'll try not to cry because I've been doing a lot of that this year, but was being able to share that with my dad. You know, he's seen me play more baseball than anybody, and to stand in the field with him and just hug him and look at the celebration, look in the stands, see all the fans. It was pretty cool. So I can't really explain it. And the feeling of winning, you never know how it's going to feel, but it felt a heck of a lot better than thought.
Yeah.
It felt incredible.
A lot of teams in sports will use the disrespect card. The Patriots are even trying to do that now. There's some discussion whether they are. People have been saying they can't do it. They suck. Tom Brady, all that stuff. You guys won 108 games, so I'm sure it was not like people were doubting you going in. But then again, Rick, there were the storylines that the staff had to face, you and David Price not getting the first playoff win. When you went into the postseason last year, did you feel like there were doubters still, despite the 108 wins, and you had to prove people wrong? And I guess, how did you guys handle that as a team going into the playoffs?
Well, I think it started, in us handling it, started from AC and our leadership and kind of came through our players as far as our focus. And there are those doubts that come in. It sometimes it can be difficult to block out the noise from what people around you are saying. It's right in front of your face every day. But he really kept us focused on what we accomplished over the course of the season, that we're a good ball club, and as long as everyone did their job and focused on that and one pitch, one game at a time, we were going to end up where we wanted to end up. And he said that in the dinner, before the playoffs started. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said, and I think, the best part about it was that everyone took it to heart and went out there and did it, and I don't know, I think that was really kind of what binded us together through that was his leadership, and then everybody kind of feeding off of our own internal confidence and blocking out the rest.
Yeah.
We talked about team meetings. Like, the fact that you guys didn't have any team meetings. I remember you saying this just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen over the course. And, Steve, I don't know if you would concur with that, but over the course of the long baseball season, there's going to be some sort of team meeting. But this speaks to, number one, what Cora sort of delivered for you guys and what he represented, but also how you guys were. And, Steve, we were just talking about this on the podcast about, that the reason you wanted to come back was because of this group, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, This is a, I know you won the World Series, that's not what I'm talking about, but this was a unique group, is at least the message that you guys are getting.
Special group. We have a lot of talent on the team, and what I like best is our chemistry. I mean, we everybody got along so well, and playing from afar when I was on the visiting team, when you played the Boston Red Sox, you saw how much fun they had, and they won, and you walk into the clubhouse and you understand how good they are because you see what's going on in the clubhouse and they show up and it shows up on the field.
And you said that was the best group that you've ever played with.
Yeah, and that's to not disrespect any of the other ball clubs that I've been on. It just we had a special mix and everyone gelled and exactly what Steve was saying. I think probably our favorite part about what we had this year was the chemistry that we had in that clubhouse, and that was As nice as it was to get the season over with and win that World Series, it was kind of sad to know that we weren't going to be seeing these guys that you go to battle with every day. So the guys like Brad Foe and Pete Abraham. like you said, it echoing the fact that it was such a special group of guys, and that was part, I think, of what was able to propel us to get over that hump of the first round and make the run that we made.
So you, Alex Cora, you mentioned he had already declared here that wait till you see what's in store this year. He's already kind of set the standard pretty high, despite maybe the greatest season in Red Sox history. What do you guys think about Alex saying we can be even better next year after an incredible season, 11-3 in the playoffs? How do you top that? And what do you think of what Alex had to say?
Well, I believe it.
Yeah.
We do got a special group, and we'll keep on saying that. And we know what we're about. And we're gonna go out and we're gonna play our baseball, and we play pretty darn good baseball. And we can lean on each other. If the offense ain't picking it up, the defense will get us. The pitchers will get us. And if the pitchers are struggling, the offense will pick us up. Yeah, we had such a great team, and we could lean on everybody. And I think that's what made it such a special group.
Yeah,
and it just in general complacency, like going back to back in baseball, is unheard of. It's got to be such a challenge to get over the long grind of it, have your celebration, and how do you guys avoid being complacent and still have the fire this year, Rick?
Yeah, I think just being able to separate the two. You know, 2018 was 2018, and although we're going to remember that for the rest of our lives, we're on to 2019, and it's a completely new journey. It's a new focus on, you know, the work that we have to put in every day, and you know, going to accomplish that goal again. It's a long marathon of a season, and there's a lot that goes into it, and you know, the work that we're all doing individually now in the weight room and on our bodies, and what we'll be doing in spring training is what's going to carry us through to make another postseason run, and that requires a lot of focus and a lot of attention. So you got to, you know, hate to say turn the page, but you do.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like you get to the point where you don't even want to talk about it anymore because you want to just keep your mind on what's in front of you. You know, and I think that's the focus that we had last year. That's the approach that we need to take as far as, you know, resetting everything for another run this year.
All right. I want to talk about the Patriots because I don't know if you knew this. Steve Pierce is a big Patriots fan.
Go ahead.
He already proclaimed going to the Super Bowl, correct, Steve?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Go
ahead. Rick grew up in Jersey. I'm sure that's – he's not a Patriots fan, but I don't want to – declare that.
No, but whatever.
Yeah,
you live in Vermont, right?
Yeah. I'm on
but it's but you know, I want to get to that in a second about your not only you but your family's just love for the Patriots. But let's cross these things off the list. White House, you guys going?
I'm going.
Okay,
I mean, get a chance to meet the president. I mean, that's a great honor.
Yeah, I'm doing whatever our ball club's doing. So,
okay, Rick, contract extension.
What about it?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
Do you want one?
Did Dave call you?
Sure.
Do you want to get paid a lot of money?
I truly love playing in Boston, especially after you know, the season that we came off of with this group of guys, and I want to make that last as long as possible. And really, for me, it's hard to envision playing in another city after something like that. So I would love to be able to sign an extension and be fortunate enough to continue to play in Boston.
That's a tough thing. And you guys have this whole group coming back. And, like, Steve, you came back here in large part because of this group. But the reality is this is reality of the business of baseball, right? You have a lot of guys up, not only after this year, after next year. And you would love to say everyone's going to stick together. And I don't know if you guys get together and say, hey, you know what? If there's any semblance of keeping this together, let's do it, or is this, we all just understand this is the business of baseball?
Yeah, what the worst thing is about it is we don't have a choice sometimes. And you know, as bad as we want to come back here and play with the same guys year after year, we can't. And you know, whether it's a signing problem or, you know, money problem from the other side, it's unfortunate. We don't get those choices sometimes, and we have to move on.
Same thing, Rick. I mean, I know that you would love to keep this team together for a long time, but it's not only you who is going to be up here. But it's just like, let's just enjoy what we have right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is part of, you know, the setting your focus to 2019 and what we want to accomplish this year. I mean, it's not just getting over what we did last year. It's blocking out those other things that, you know, guys are going to be. Got 1 year left on their contract or whatever's coming up for those guys contractually, it doesn't matter. What matters is what we have coming in front of us in 2019. We've been given another opportunity with a great ball club to go out there and win, and let's take the most of it and get to work, and let's go win another ring.
So that leads me to Steve. What is the biggest moment of fandom you had for the Patriots? What was the moment where you said, this defined me as a Patriots fan? For me, it was, you know, going to watch Hugh Millen play quarterback in the Rudd Rust years.
You know, when I was young, you know, my dad was a big Patriots fan, and I really didn't have a choice of being a fan of anybody else. So, I mean, as long as I can remember, I don't know if there's a specific spot, but I know I wanted, you know, to be a Pats fan like my dad, and that's where it all started.
It worked out because they've been pretty good. So
yeah, we've been very fortunate the past 20 years. So we're it's a fun team to watch.
How are the Jets working out, Rick?
I don't know who's that?
Good Lord.
I don't follow the Jets in hockey. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to get Steve's prediction for tomorrow then. If he's a Patriots fan, right?
That's up to him. That's going to be up to him.
You want to go on the record with anything?
Well, I mean, I want them to win. You know, I'm going to be a hardcore fan. I'm going to be cheering, and Yeah, hopefully we pull it out.
Yep.
And, you know, it seems like, you know, when everybody counts the Patriots out, they find ways to shock the world.
Do you guys have a relationship with them at all? Any of the guys on the team? I know your seasons overlap a little bit, so it's probably a little tough. In fact, the last time they played the Chiefs, you guys were in Game 2 of your series with the Astros back in Week 6 of the NFL, so there was a crossover there. But you guys know anybody from the Patriots?
Not personally. I just like watching them and following them, and honestly, you know, everything that they've been able to accomplish, we kind of watch it from a point of admiration, and hopefully we can kind of repeat something like that with, you know, the Red Sox. So.
There you go. Yeah. So they're on their way. There you go, Ken.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming by.
Yeah,
so, sorry you had to deal with Bradford.
Thank
again.
You for all that you have done for the Bradford Show podcast, both of you. Appreciate it, and yeah. I appreciate the time that you put in here, and I know that all these people out here really appreciate it as well. Go to your hotel room and get a nap.
Yeah, all right.
Rick Porcello and Steve Pierce here at Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods as we continue on. Thank you, guys. So, Bradford, you've been interviewing players like back-to-back throughout the day across the street, or what's been going on
across
here?
The street? What are you talking
you're
about?
You're not in our location. You're like down the hall. You strolled in at 3 o'clock on the
bus. Foxwood's such a great place. It's like a whole city within a city.
It is enormous.
I was just in a different part of the city. I was doing all these interviews and getting ready. You know, let's be honest, Ken. Like, the Patriots game's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. There's a lot. We have all these players come here through here like we do now, and they're good interviews, better interviews. We're not going to have this much access, not only here, but the written media, the TV, all year long.
They're relaxed. They're not going anywhere.
Let's be honest. The unfortunate thing is the Patriots play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, it is. He brought up, you know, being a Patriots fan and to go through this run of success. It is amazing. The Red Sox get, you know, if they go back-to-back, a fifth title. The Patriots have had five.
Yeah, but, you know, this is as he's saying that, you're thinking, yeah, you know what? I get that. I get that they want it to be that way. It's just two different worlds.
It's hard to compare.
You could never do within baseball what the Patriots have done. And what the Patriots have done is incredible in this year, in this era of free agency. But the way that you're able to franchise players and lock players up and basically get players from the draft immediately to contribute. I mean, think about for baseball, how do you replenish? You draft a guy and then you hope that he can contribute in 4 years.
Right.
It's just not, and then you know, free agency is a lot different. It's more aggressive in baseball.
Yeah, people bring up the salary cap. I mean, there technically isn't one in baseball, but we're seeing. I told you about the soft collusion last year, and we're seeing it for the second year in a row.
I got to be honest with you. You
mocked me, and so did Alex Speer, I might add.
I never heard the term soft collusion, but if you could make up T-shirts right now, soft collusion.
I should have been on that last
year. Soft collusion, Ken. I mean, oh my goodness, it seems a little uncomfortable to say.
Well, I was thinking of that with Steve Pierce here, because here's a guy you wrote just about this recently at ESPN.
Yeah, I actually just talked to him about it at length for the podcast.
Probably would have been a better question than my leadoff question to him, but I don't want to.
No, but you know, my questions weren't any better than follow-up.
I noticed that, believe me. But Steve signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
It's not like he's 40. He's not ancient. He's coming off a World Series MVP. He's sort of in his prime. I mean, I guess you could say he's on the back end of his prime, but he's certainly performing as well as he ever had. And he decides, I'm going to go with a 1-year contract. Why? Because baseball's economics are so bizarre right now.
Nah.
These veterans are signing 1-year deals all over the place.
I would like to say, you know, I think he would admit this, that, oh, he read the market. He got out. Yeah, okay. You know, we put that on the headline.
You wrote that.
Right, we put that on the headline. He read the market.
You
he
lied?
Did.
You're saying you
no,
lied?
No, he did read the market, but it was almost inadvertently. Because what he prioritized was, as he said, the whole thing about him growing up like a Red Sox fan and a Patriots fan, like, that's a very real thing. So he liked it here. He liked the team that he was on. He liked winning. Could he have gotten a 2-year deal somewhere else? Maybe. We don't know. But he wanted to prioritize those things to coming back. So he said, I mean, that was, Ken, that was 2 weeks into the offseason
he
did that.
You're saying if he waited it out, he would have got a multi-year deal?
No, I'm just the opposite. I think it worked out for him. I think it worked out for him because of maybe inadvertently, because he prioritized these other things. If he just went into it, I'd hate that team. I don't want to be on that Red Sox team or something along those lines, and I'm going to go into the offseason and look for the 2-year deal. You know where he'd be sitting right now? He'd be sitting there with Logan Morrison. and and the list of names at first basemen who are still out there. Because right now, there's only been one first baseman who's gotten a deal of 2 years, and that was Daniel Murphy. He's not even really a first baseman. But everybody else who signed, who could classify as a first baseman, has gotten 1 year and less than Steve Pearce.
Yeah. Well, why is that, though? But
Because the market stinks.
Does it stink, or is it because...
No, it's because the way that they're
owners
going.
Owners have just decided we're not signing veteran players to multi-year deals anymore. It's just not happening.
I think that they realize that they can get by without going the route that they used to go.
Right.
I mean, Steve Pearce signed a two-year deal with Toronto at exactly the same number, 6.5 per year. And when he did that, like he did in December, but that would have never happened this offseason. I don't think he would have gotten the two-year deal. And think about this, Ken, and we've talked about this, about these guys make a lot of money a lot of times off of winning the World Series MVP. Right. Joe Kelly, if he didn't have a postseason, he would have just been another relief pitcher with a 4-something ERA.
Well, true. I mean, and the Dodgers gave him more than I ever thought they would.
Because of the postseason,
trying to look back at my notes for the last... Remember when they won in 07?
You have notes?
I took some notes. They signed they signed Pedroia that offseason, right? They signed Lester. It must have been the year after.
So you're going back to after they won the championship in 07.
Yes.
The big one was Lowell. Lowell was a free agent. Re-signed Lowell. He got the 4-year offer from the Phillies. He took the 3-year offer from the Red Sox. But you know, think about this. Like, let's go back. Here's another example.
Yeah.
About how screwy this offseason is. Let's go back to leading into the 2013 season, where the Red Sox took the strategy and ended up being the right one. Of 3-year deal for Mike Napoli, ended up being a 1-year deal because of his head.
Napoli was the other one.
Right. So a 3-year deal for Victorino. I think it was a 3-year deal for David Ross. It was, we're going to do these 3-year deals. This is short money. Think about how many 3-year deals there are right now.
There's none. Right.
There's hardly any.
It's unbelievable.
So think about those guys in their 30s, Victorino, Napoli, and Ross. Can you imagine them getting a 3-year deal right now?
No. And how upset is, like, Kimbrel is a fascinating thing to watch because he's unsigned. He's got to be livid, right? He and his agents have to be, like, out of their mind. And they're seeing teams comment on them publicly, like Dave Dombrowski. Not really, but he kind of gets around it. But he basically says, we're out of the market. I mean, he may be playing a sly game.
But I don't think he is. I think that, well, he'll be in the market if he falls to him.
Yeah,
but
do you think that helps Craig Kimbrel's market?
I know,
that does not at all. I mean,
no.
So this is when you talk about like the soft collusion. All right, owners are starting to talk a little bit.
Ken Laird soft collusion.
Well, I'm just. It was a good point I had last year. I'm trying to hammer that.
I think that soft collusion comes from them understanding why aren't they spending the money? Why aren't they signing these contracts? And them understanding that they don't need to be good. This is sort of like. These teams that are in on Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, well, okay, yeah, they're really good players. But are they going to make or break? And I understand there's a business side of this and you need the face of the franchise. J.D. Martinez is an outlier to me because, to me, he is something that absolutely you needed to win. Like, do the Phillies or do the White Sox or do the Yankees absolutely need Manny Machado, Bryce Harper to win?
No, but the Yankees thought they needed multiple relievers. And it's not like they haven't done anything. They've got LeMay,
didn't cost them nearly as much.
No, you're right about that. All right, we are at Foxwoods, Winter Weekend. Ken Laird and Rob Bradford, we're here until 6. You're right about the Patriots game tomorrow dominating everything, so much so that
we had to
ask Steve Pearce questions.
I've gone through this many, many times, Ken.
Yeah.
I'm a veteran of the Winter Weekend leading into the big Patriots game.
Because I've got some crossover topics, you know, like those bad sports radio, let's try to meld both teams together.
I sure do.
I've done this over the years.
You,
I've got several that I'm going to propose to you next, and you tell me whether they're trash or they're treasure.
I can't imagine what the car ride was for you driving down here.
I was jostling notes as I was driving. I almost wrecked three
times.
You
were jostling? scribbling notes? Yeah. What are you, Mike Minahansky? Like
jotting down notes.
Jotting down notes.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. You're jostling. It was jostling around in your head the thoughts. As much
being corrected on grammar by Bradford. It's a bad start to the show.
That is not a good sign. So I can only imagine you're driving down here. I think this is how we're going to lead off the show. You're like Bill Walsh.
Well, no, I knew we had
the first 10 plays.
No, but I knew
we had. Let it flow, brother.
Well, the curveball was pierced.
Steve, yes,
because we thought we knew we had.
Thought we adjusted to that perfectly.
Yeah, it was okay. Why, do you have a better idea to tease next? Because I've got some socks.
No, you're driving the ship. Go ahead.
All right. So we'll do that next. We'll be back. And Bradford's here for autographs between segments. So if you have time and you're in the greater Connecticut area, come on down.
I'm handing out T-shirts to this young man.
Oh, you have
man
a Bradford
right
Show
yep,
T-shirt? Yep. Boom Sauce T-shirt?
I owe this young man right here.
Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
2 or 3 days ago, I say, you know what? Let's avoid the media. Let's avoid the talk shows or the podcast. Nothing against Rob, but yeah, let's avoid that. Just show up in February.
That's a great idea to have throughout the whole season. Avoid Rob.
Avoid Rob.
Always a great idea to avoid Rob if you can. Unfortunately, you're stuck with him until 6. We are at Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods Resort and Casino. I'm Ken Laird.
It was Alex Cora. Evidently, I'm the straw that stirs a drink when it comes to
fresh on the mind,
defining the media market in this town.
You and Trump, Cora went off on both.
Oh, really?
No, he didn't really. But listen to the interview anyway.
Okay,
it's worth.
I'm
not kidding. Really good interviews. I know a lot of people are really geared up. It's title game weekend. Pats, Chiefs. We're going to talk a lot about it. But I was driving down here listening. Unbelievable interview with Sale and Pedro together.
Yeah.
With Lou and Dickerson. Cora was great. Dombrowski. Very good. So
Porcello and Pierce, outstanding.
That wasn't my best work, but those guys did great.
Well, you're so hard on yourself. What are you doing? I mean, it was fine.
It was okay.
It was good.
It was okay.
On everything.
You did well.
The problem
you
is
you got the White House question.
Well, but the problem is, and I knew this because we talked about it with them. They're being by the time they get here at 3 o'clock, they've been ushered around all over, and those questions, like, they were up with the print media. They were over with Nesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Pierce had done my podcast for 12 minutes, even despite Alex Cora not telling him not to. So they've been asked all these questions. So we got to keep it a little loose, Ken.
I hear you.
Kerosene Ken.
I threw a softball up there. You didn't like it. I guess how did you guys handle that as a team going into the playoffs? Yeah. Well, that was a good one. That was a solid follow-up. That was question number two. It's always good when you throw an I guess in there. I'm not sure what my question is, but I guess. How did you guys handle that? All right, you ready for my crossover topics?
Yes.
Because we get into sports radio. Now, obviously, people want some Patriots-Chiefs talk, and we're ready to give it to them, even though we're here talking some Red Sox. But, you know, you'd like to honor the spirit of what's going on. And this event, by the way, according to Colin Birch, who I met in person for the first time here, Mutt's big leverage guy, Colin Birch.
Ooh, really?
Red Sox. This was Mutt's.
Is he pro-Mutt or anti-Mutt?
Well, Mutt claims that.
Colin, we should clarify. Colin Birch basically is in charge of the broadcast for the Red Sox.
Yes, yes. And Mutt claims that he likes him, and that's, you know, that was his big leverage in getting a new contract for the morning show.
Okay.
So we've been mocking him for a month about that. But anyway, Colin told me this is the biggest crowd they ever had here, and coming off a World Series title is no surprise. But they sold out record time, extras added on afterwards, and I am stunned. I'm not just saying
that. So you've never been here.
I've never been here, but to come to this event and wade through the people to getting from the Fox Tower.
Did anyone recognize you?
No, lots, yeah.
Well, I will say this. It is amazing because usually they've had a couple of these where the weather's been brutal. I mean, like blizzards, mm-hmm. and they've still gotten this type of crowd.
Right.
And also, there's always moments that pop up at this. We talk about the interviews. The interviews are really, really good. And maybe we'll have to, you have to resurface and if the Patriots lose on Sunday, on Tuesday, or whatever it is, so be it. But there are always moments, like particularly like Mike Minahansky refused. We were down here doing this show, and the Belichick, it was the Mona Lisa Vito press conference, and Mike Minahansky refused to go to commercial break. He refused.
Mutt's best moment.
You know the earnest, like very serious Mutt. Like he was very, very serious. They can fire me if they like. If they choose, they can fire me. But I am not going to commercial break. Because all we knew was Belichick was talking. Yeah. That's all we knew. That was 4 years ago. And that was the same show.
That was the bladders, gauges, that press
conference. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The Mona Lisa Vita. Yes. So That was the same show where Joe Kelly came over. He wasn't scheduled. Like, all these guys are scheduled.
The Jets fan.
Oh, there you go. All these guys are scheduled. But Joe Kelly came over and basically non-scheduled. We didn't really even know him. He had been with the team for a couple months. And he proclaimed, I am going to win. I want to let you listeners know, I am going to win the Cy Young. And then later, when everyone started giving crap about, oh, I thought it was a small Connecticut radio station. No.
It was a bit, yeah, I know. You set the standard that day. That was the start of winter
exactly,
weekend.
Exactly. Right? Something always happens here, and something's going to happen, I'm sure, again today.
Okay, well, I brought this up to the guys a little bit, kind of searching for a question that you heard there. Because I was at Fenway, as you were, for Game 2, Red Sox and Astros. That was the big David Price night, if you'll recall. Price, you know, he was a no decision that night, right? They ended up
winning.
Was
this before or after you said he'll never pitch in the Red Sox uniform again?
That was after, because that was the Yankees series.
That's right, correct. Where I said he was going to have a big start.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, you were fighting with Evan Roberts from WFAN New York, our sister station.
Yeah.
So, and he had a terrible start.
Yep.
And then he got ripped, but that was Price's next start. It was a pretty big, I mean, because the Astros had won Game 1.
Yep.
ALCS.
Yep.
7 o'clock Sunday night start, and the Patriots-Chiefs Week 6 game is happening. Do you remember that night even paying attention to Patriots-Chiefs? I mean,
yes.
You're doing your job, but it was on the board up there.
Yeah, yes. I do remember paying attention, because I remember going to that game thinking, how are the Patriots going to keep up with the Chiefs? Like, that was, the Chiefs had started out so hot.
Yeah.
Mahomes was great. You know, they're running around, and you're looking at the Patriots, and they're still trying to figure this stuff out. Their defense wasn't that good. How are they ever going to keep up? So you watch that game, especially as it unfolded, and they go, oh my goodness, what is happening? So yeah, I remember that. I don't have the memory that you do, Kerosene Ken.
Well, no, I had to dig through, because we talked so much about what the ratings were going to be like head-to-head. In fact, I remember we had Tom Werner on the pregame that night, and he was a little unhappy that, as a TV guy, you'd had the big football game going up against Game 2.
What were the ratings? ALCS. What did you end up?
Do you remember who won?
No, I don't remember who won the ratings.
Guess who won?
Football.
Football won.
Football usually wins.
But it was close. The Patriots
had
In Boston, the Patriots had a 51 share. The Red Sox game did a 30 share. So 81% of the households in the Boston market were watching either the Chiefs game, Patriots-Chiefs, or watching the Red Sox game that night.
Yeah. Well,
which is stunning.
It doesn't.
And here we are again, Red Sox winter weekend, Patriots-Chiefs tomorrow. So that's my little foray into the crossover.
Yeah, okay. Where do you hit? Around Sturbridge? Is that where one clicked in?
I was jostling notes.
the reality.
That, and I had Dan Cilio's podcast on from last night, listening back a little bit to him during commercial breaks.
God bless you.
Yeah.
I was driving down listening to Dan Cilio. Him breaking down the J.D. Martinez contract was
It was quality stuff, I got to say. We'll have plenty of drops.
Yes, in that
Monday.
Respect, it was quality stuff. It was absolutely in that
he
respect.
He broke down the word swagger for 10 minutes. It was intense.
He also, you know, to speak to what we were talking about earlier about could the Red Sox ever, how long could they keep this team together, he was going on about how the Red Sox were basically set up for the next 10 years because they had a great farm system and they got a great young nuclear.
Could be true.
Sure, yeah. If their payroll goes to $400 million.
They'll have some difficulty next year. And as you know, one of my kerosene takes is the owners are going to be selling the team anyway
after this season.
So we'll get back to that later. But the obvious cliche Patriots-Red Sox topic, if you want to meld the two, is simply, and as you can tell by those ratings numbers, by the way, there's fans that I'm sure there are some Red Sox fans that aren't Patriots fans, some Patriots fans that aren't Red Sox fans.
Mm-hmm.
Some football fans just don't care about baseball. But who's going to win the next title? Simple, cliche, roll out the ball. This is like a Mount Rushmore
You didn't ask Rick Porcello and Steve Pierce that out of the gate?
This is a Jimmy Murphy topic.
Who's going to win the next title?
Sox or Patriots? Who wins the next championship?
Patriots.
617-779-7937. Patriots, really?
I can't believe
you said that. Really?
Yeah, because I think that it's
you're wrong. But go ahead.
Okay, well here's my reasoning for it. I think that it's a lot harder to win, as we pointed out with the two fine young baseball players who are here. It's a lot harder to win a World Series. People don't understand. Think about all the things that had to go right for the Red Sox to win a World Series. It's a lot harder to win a World Series, to get through a baseball season and then get through the postseason and win a World Series than it is.
Yeah, but they're going to make the playoffs. This Red Sox roster.
But even under Farrell, they made the playoffs. Ken, they made the playoffs.
With this kind of payroll, you guarantee yourself a playoff berth in baseball. You spend $240 million.
If you don't, you're in trouble.
Correct.
If you don't make the playoffs, you're in trouble. But even when you get to the playoffs, go to the Yankees.
You want a five-game series? And then
go to the Yankee series. Okay? Yep. Kimbrel's melting down in that game. If Nunez doesn't make that play, if Steve Pierce doesn't make that stretch, they are in trouble, partner. I mean, they are in trouble because they probably lose that game, and then you don't know what's going to happen. So that's my point. You go if Benintendi doesn't make that catch,
the diving catch, yeah.
There is so many things that have to go right, more so than in a football season.
Yeah, but you're pointing out two of the juggernauts of baseball, the Yankees and the Astros, and the Astros have already taken a
step
back.
You're making my point because the Astros, everyone thought, look at this rotation, they're a better team than the year before, and they're just going to win. Well, they didn't win, and that's why nobody repeats. But in football,
they were in the mix, and they were awful close. I mean, they were, you know, they a couple plays away, an interference call in the outfield early in that game. What game was that? First game in Houston.
Interference call in the outfield. Oh, the Mookie Betts.
The Mookie Betts.
I thought you were really trying to cross sports. Yes, yes. So my point is that with the Patriots this year, I still think they have a legitimate chance at winning the Super Bowl. I do.
They're one of four teams left. They have a legitimate chance.
Well, I think people would say they're the fourth team. Correct? I mean, they had the closest point spread of any of the teams of any of the favorites last week.
Yeah, I mean, both road teams are 3-point dogs, right?
Yes, you wouldn't know that. I wouldn't. I am just learning the art of gambling.
Well, no, actually, I get the sense around here listening this week. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're a website guy, and you kind of get the pulse of the digital world. But as a morning show guy, I get a sense that Patriots fans are generally overconfident after last week's win
and feel pretty good about their chances of making the Super Bowl. This goes to what's been a hot topic on our station all week, how ridiculous it is not to pick the games early in the week.
You got so upset about this, it was unbelievable.
Right.
So Rob had a good idea early in the week to go around and get everybody's predictions for the game.
I was trying to help out the station.
On Monday, though, Ordway's still digesting the special teams in the Chargers game. He's got a lot to unpack there, and you're at the barrel of a gun. You're forcing people to come up with their pick for the week. People that have an everyday show want to let it unpack a little bit. They want to let it simmer.
So this is why I brought this up.
And you got so mad that they wouldn't do it. It became like a personal.
No, I don't think I was getting mad. I think there was some of the hosts who were taking it very, very personal that I would ever ask.
Correct.
Them.
Yes, you can say Dale's name.
Yes. Well, not only him, but you know everyone on the OMF.
The afternoon show, yeah.
So my point is that like you know what they are, and so I brought this up because you just talked about it. You can convince yourself. Ryan Hannibal did it today. He wrote a story. I call him saying how he convinced himself that the Patriots are going to win this game, and
I'm sure that took some to get Hannibal to be pro Patriots.
Early in the week he wasn't. So this. When you have all week and you're talking, you talk yourself into it, even though nothing has changed. That's what happens in this world of football. And I don't even know why this came up, but you brought it up about that you can convince yourself that a team is going to actually win the Super Bowl. You can convince a team is going to win. And going back to the pick thing, like the whole idea. Tell me, because I'm an innovator, Ken.
You're an idea man. I give you credit.
Okay, tell me. You make the picks on Monday.
Yep.
Then you have something to goof on for the entire week.
But you didn't post it until Friday, so why wouldn't you just...
Because I didn't get the picks. I didn't get the picks. And
whose picks didn't you get?
I didn't get any of... Well, I ended up getting
the OMS.
You posted
them without OMS picks, yeah, so...
Well, I was waiting for all their picks. I was waiting for everybody. I was trying to do everybody a favor.
But you said it was like Monday deadline. Why don't you just say Thursday? Give me your picks.
No,
Thursday.
I didn't. I asked for it Monday. Everyone said Tuesday. I said, okay, Tuesday. Then everyone said Wednesday.
You're
I'm very angry.
Your anger level has gone. Since I've met you, you have become the anger quotient. Like, you and Drellick are at midseason form down here. It's unbelievable.
There's a lot to be angry about.
What is happening with you and Drellick down here?
Don't...
you're angry at all our hosts at the station.
No, just listen to me.
Yeah, good.
I'm trying to help you out. This is the lesson to learn if the Patriots win. If the Patriots win, everybody should make their pick on Monday. Because
first instincts are correct.
And you know what? No. And you know what you should do? On Tuesday, you should revisit it. And then on Wednesday, you should revisit it. And for two weeks, but you should here's the problem.
But there would have been a bunch of Patriots picks Monday because
There weren't any. That's the whole point. You're making my point. Everybody picks at the end of the week. You know why? Because everyone is holier than thou, that they're concerned about being right instead of being entertaining. Okay. Yes? All right. Thanks.
It's part of the entertainment
process. If I could
write
my mark right now. There you go. Boom.
Yes, they're trying to let it breathe a little bit for the week and let listeners.
No, you know as well as I do. They all say, like, "Oh well, this is
a lot of injuries to watch this week."
I know the press conferences to break down.
Yeah,
that was another thing to take away from this week. No storylines other than weather.
It was.
What was that?
Brady again at his press conference playing the disrespect card, slightly with the Ben Volen question, and the Patriots being vocal.
And what was the best sound from that? What was the best sound from Brady? Playing the disrespect card.
He was asked about.
No, what the best? I'll give you the answer. The best sound was him walking off the field after Sunday's game. That was
that set the tone for the week. But that's a significant storyline, which I will get to in another crossover topic with Patriots and Red Sox. We didn't accomplish much there. We will get to the calls 617-779-7937. Who wins the title next? Are the Patriots overconfident? Kind of dueling, that's on the table.
I'll answer it after the break.
All right, and I got more for you. I'm dominating the show. Anything else you want to tease?
No, you're not dominating the show. You're doing a fine job. All right. Think it's been a very entertaining show from here at Winter Weekend at Foxwoods.
It's Reset Bradford. It's Laird. It's Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
Julian has the shirt set against us. You had some strong comments after the last game. After all the success you guys have had, is there actually a genuine feeling of disrespect in that locker room?
I mean, we're going against a team that's the number one seed, in the league. And, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are thinking they're going to win. Everyone can have their own opinion. We certainly have an opinion, and we got to go out there and execute our best in order to accomplish that. So it's going to be a tough game. I mean, we're not certainly expecting to go 15 minutes into the game and, think that it's over. It's going to go down to the end. They got a great team. Like I said, feel like we have a team that can compete well against anybody. We're going to need to play really well, so it makes for a championship game. Hopefully we can have our best one of the year. So thank you guys, appreciate it.
That was the big that wasn't the soundbite of the week, because you're right, coming off the field, Tracy Wolfson was the Brady soundbite of the week.
You know that. You know your.
I agree with that. But and by the way, it's Laird and Bradford. We're at Foxwoods at Red Sox Winter Weekend. That was a storyline this week that had some teeth to it. The Patriots being out of character, in my opinion, and being
they
playing
took,
the disrespect card.
Ken, they took advantage of an opportunity that they rarely get. That's how you got to look at that.
Because I guess technically they're underdogs this week for the first time since, Brady?
Right.
2014 Brady, way back.
And even before that, when they weren't, as I said, the point spread last week was the closest point spread of any of those games. So they took that as Brady said, everyone says we suck. And this was a storyline. This was a thought they took into the Chargers game, and they're just only able to build on for this one. And then if they win this game, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. What was the lines? I saw the lines. I think they're even. I think they're even with the Saints right now.
I think it was close to
They'll be if the Rams win, they'll be underdogs to the Rams. No question about it. I don't think
everyone thinks we suck.
Yeah. So
slight. It won't be a hefty underdog.
No, but the point is that they don't have this opportunity a whole lot.
But they've done it before, as people have pointed out. Rodney Harrison.
That's my point. Is that it's been forever. It's been forever that they've been able to do this.
But they shouldn't have been able to do it then. I guess technically in 04.
Oh, they were delusional. They were doing like the Eagles would have the parade planned. And they would have, I remember they would have the ESPN pickers, the list of people from ESPN who would pick the games. And like there'd be like two people out of 30 who picked against the Patriots, but those people were circled. That's just how it works. And if you give them this opportunity, Ken, forget about it. They're going to take advantage of it.
I guess, but it is a little smacking of desperation. Like, let's create something to try to inflate us because we know we're a little bit in trouble talent-wise. On the road, we're not so good this year. We're 3-5. You don't feel that? Why are you laughing at that?
No,
that's calculated.
No,
and they're getting their mouthpieces out there to spread the word. Like Teddy Bruschi was on and went after Kellerman on ESPN. So, they, you know.
I don't think it has anything to do with how they feel about the team. I just think it has to do with this is how when you're presented this opportunity about being quote-unquote disrespected, they circle the wagons. This is what they do.
Edelman's making T-shirts during title game.
Right.
I know you're the T-shirt guy.
I love the T-shirts.
It is out of character, and it is noteworthy. You would agree. This is it's a little bizarre for the Patriots
to go. It is bizarre because, once again, they are not presented this opportunity very often, if at all.
But nobody thinks they suck.
Yeah, they do.
Who?
Wait, do you think that the majority of the country thinks that they're going to beat the Chiefs? No, that they're going to beat the Chiefs?
I'd say it's split.
No.
Yeah.
No. Are you kidding me?
Because people don't trust Reed and people don't trust Mahomes as a first-year quarterback.
So we go around the Red Sox.
And after how good the Patriots looked last week, I can understand. I'm caught up in it.
Doesn't matter. Oh, are you?
It was one of their.
You should have made your pick on Monday.
I did.
I know.
And I picked the Patriots. Then Friday, I picked the Chiefs. So I picked both teams.
See, that's good show content.
Scores.
That was entertaining how you switched.
It was great.
But I would say this is as a small sample size. You go to these Red Sox players, and so I wanted what my initial plan the other day. I want to get some Red Sox players making their picks, saying how brave they were that they could actually make picks, and OMF and Dale that you know they couldn't possibly make picks, but they didn't want to make picks. You know why? Because even though they're ingrained to pick the team that they know their fan base is rooting for, they don't feel good about it. And I feel like that's sort of a win, but I don't think that the vast
deep down they don't believe they will.
No, I don't think
so. Oh, because I disagree. I think after
are you talking about people here?
No, just Patriots fans, just in general.
Well,
it's a broad brush.
Patriots fans, yes, of course they do.
They are feeling very confident after the Chargers' performance. Brady's healthy. It's now
it's two different things, though, Ken. It's two different things. You're talking about Patriots fans.
Yes.
There's no more loyal fans than Patriot fans. You talk about circle the wagons, digging in, and all of that stuff. Of course they're going to feel. Even if they squeaked out that game against the Chargers and Brady was terrible, they would be picking the Patriots. They see the best in the Patriots. They see the absolute best in them. But I'm talking about
Smart fans generally.
I'm talking about
case,
the blue states, the red states, all the states in between. I'm talking about the entire country. If you polled the entire country, I would guess that it would be probably about 70-30 people would be picking the Chiefs.
All right. I think it's a fair question. Do you sense that Patriots fans, if you're one of them, people around you are overconfident? 617-779-7937. And should you be, based off the chart? Were the Chargers like a flawed team, which is leading to bad feels about, you know, bad analysis about this team based off 1 week, or was that legitimately
you had 2 weeks to prepare for a team that was probably the whole dynamic caught up to them.
I think so. I think the Chargers, especially the coaches, I mean, we've gone through the Anthony Lynn strategy.
He all of a sudden became a bad coach?
He's not a bad coach.
He was Jerry Callahan's coach of the year.
I know he was. And boy, was Jerry texting me during the Porcello interview. He loved it. He was texting me questions to ask.
Was he really? Oh, good for him.
Good. I'm glad.
I know. He can ask when he goes down to spring training.
All right, you had actually a good topic idea. Speaking of you being an idea man, I like this. Early in the week, we never got to it much on the morning show, but it involves Bill Belichick. And I want you to expand on that when we come back.
When we come back,
yes.
Okay, sure.
It's actually
one of my better thoughts.
Okay, a rare good thought from Bradford coming up. We are at Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods. Kent Laird, Rob Bradford, this is WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.